Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Oh, that you were like my brother, this is the girl speaking, who nursed from the breasts of my mother. If I found you outside, I would kiss you, and nobody would despise me. I would lead you, bringing you into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would have you drink spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand would be under my head, his right hand would embrace me. So she's saying, oh, I can't stand the stress here in Jerusalem. If I kiss you, or we hold hands together, then we're despised. Yep, the daughters of Jerusalem didn't like her because they could see that she was a Gentile woman who was going to lead Solomon astray. And of course, they wanted Solomon to marry one of them. And she says, oh, like she's fantasizing, oh, if only I could bring you into my mother's house back in Egypt, and she would teach me. Well, what was her mother going to teach her about the God of Israel? Absolutely nothing. And then she says, I would have you, Solomon, drink the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand would be under my head. His right hand would embrace me. She's basically saying, if you come with me to my mum's place, which may well have been in Egypt, there nobody's going to despise us and laugh at us, and there you can sleep with me. Well, this is not going well, is it? This is Solomon, the king of Israel, reigning in Jerusalem. And he's being tempted by this woman who clearly does not want to be with him in Jerusalem, and her heart is in Egypt. Then she says, I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you do not stir up nor stimulate my love until he so desires. So she's saying, again, get away from him, daughters of Jerusalem. The daughters of Jerusalem then say, who is this who comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I think this is the final, as it were, victory for the daughters of Jerusalem, because they're saying to this Egyptian girl, hey, look over there. There's a wedding procession going on, and you know what? It's Solomon, and he's marrying somebody else. The beloved says, Solomon says, under the apple tree I aroused you. There your mother conceived you. There she was in labor and bore you. And the lover says, set me as a seal on your heart, as a seal on your arm, for love is strong as death. So I think that this is talking about how they get married. Solomon is getting married to another woman. It's a bit confusing, but that is, I think, the idea. That there the Egyptian girl has been thinking desperately that she's going to keep hold of Solomon and the daughters of Jerusalem and not to touch him, and now they, with a grin on their faces, say, hey, look over there. Who's this coming up out of the wilderness? It's Solomon. He's getting married. And not to you. Jealousy is as cruel as Sheol. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a very flame of Yahweh. Many waters can't quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the wealth of his house for love, he would be utterly scorned. So I think that this is the inevitable jealousy and anger that now breaks out. Then the daughters of Jerusalem say, we have a little sister, she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she is to be spoken for? I think that this procession was perhaps marrying one of their young sisters who was still a child, and she was at least being betrothed to Solomon. They say, if she is a wall, we will build on her a turret of silver. If she is a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. The beloved, that's the Egyptian girl, says, I was a wall, and my breasts were like towers, and then I found acceptance in his eyes. She's saying, but I thought Solomon slept with me and that he found my body really attractive. She's really angry, of course, understandably. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Haman. He leased out the vineyard to keepers. Each was to bring 1,000 shekels of silver for its fruit. My own vineyard is mine alone. 1,000 are for you, Solomon, 200 for those who tend its fruit. She's talking in very sort of indirect terms here. But when she says, my vineyard is mine alone, and you can have your vineyard and all the fruit and all the shekels of silver and all those who work in it, you can keep it, but my vineyard is mine. I think she's referring to her body as her vineyard, because that's how it's been likened That's what it's been likened to earlier in the song. And she's basically saying, right, I see it now. You've got a whole load of women in your life. And okay, that's the end of it. My vineyard, my body is mine alone. You who dwell in the gardens with friends in attendance, let me hear your voice. Go away, my beloved. Be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. So she basically tells Solomon to clear off, to just go away. Well, as I said earlier, the idea of romance and love songs and all that is that it all comes to its peak, its fulfillment in a happy wedding, and they live happily forever after. But not here. There's this very unsatisfactory ending where there's jealousy, anger, other women involved, and a breakup. And that is how the song finishes. And for all time, let's learn the lesson that if you don't build your relationship on the things of God, and if you instead just follow external appearance, I love your lipstick, I love your perfume, I love your necklace. And unless you're going to build your relationship on the fact that you both have a common love of the things of God and the things of the hope of Israel, then I'm afraid it's going to end ultimately in this unsatisfactory way.